Solving Sacramento.
Hello, welcome in, and thank you for listening to another episode of Creativity in the Capital. I'm your host this month, Casey Rafter. I'm going to start off this month's episode with a little story. Back in 2012, I saw that Chromeo, one of my favorite bands at the time, and they're still pretty good, was coming to Sacramento to perform. So I checked out tickets, and it looked like it was for a festival called Launch. I guess they were on their fourth year that year. And that day looked amazing. DJ Shadow was going to be there, Group Love, Chick Chick Chick, and Chromeo. And so I got tickets. I went. It was a great time. This month's guest, Justin Norden, gave me an opportunity to enjoy one of those aha moments that happens as a journalist where you're sitting down with a guest, they start describing their work, and you realize not only have they been programming concerts in the park for years, it's been around in Sacramento since 1991, but he was responsible for organizing and programming that very Launch Festival that I described. So without even knowing it, our paths had crossed, or at the very least, I benefited from his artistry as a person who can bring talent to Sacramento. You could tell just by how he would describe how he discovers music, how invested he is in the work that he does. Without further ado, on with the show. I could list off about 10 different titles, but I'll have you do the work.
Music industry guy.
Yeah,
that's the easiest way to dumb it down.
I had talent booker, promoter, music executive, music industry guy works too.
Yeah, all of that. It's really hard to describe
to
people.
So I know you're not from Sacramento. When did you make your way to the City of Trees?
1995.
Oh, wow. What brought you to Sacramento?
College. So I grew up in the Bay Area. I went to Sierra and had no clue what Sacramento had to offer.
Yeah.
I had no clue where Rockland was located and just was like, I got to get out of the Bay. And then never left.
I read an interview with you from 2014. Your first concert when you came to Sacramento was Cake.
Yep.
Did you have a chance to see them again after that?
I've seen them a handful of times. I didn't realize like what I was seeing. You know, when I saw it, they were still a local-ish band. They had a bunch of buzz, but they weren't like who they became. I've advised City of Trees Festival for Alt 94.7 several years back before COVID, and they were one of the headliners, so I was able to help Alt 94.7 and see them again.
Concerts in the Park is something that you're involved with, a free festival that's been around since like 91. When did you start with that project?
This year will be my 14th year booking and co-producing it. A couple of iterations of it too, because we had the like COVID iteration where we were like, well, we can't do this and we already have a full lineup booked. So we ended up doing this like Twitch stream kind of interesting thing that was cool, but it like didn't really translate at all. And then last year we switched everything up and we went from being May, June, July to just May and June and moving from 12 weeks to 9 weeks. We also changed door times and moved it later and things that we had wanted to do for a decade because 114 degree concerts in the park are not the jam.
And when do you start looking for talent for next year? Like, how does that work?
We open up submissions like November 1st. We allow anyone, national agents or labels or management companies or locals, just submit their band or their artistry for the opportunity to perform. Between November 1st and January 15th, I think is when we close it usually, we receive like between 400 and 600 submissions.
Wow.
From just people that are filling out the form online.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't include hundreds of emails that we get from agents. And then we have to sift through it. And we literally, and I'm not exaggerating one bit, I listen to every single thing that gets submitted.
Yeah.
As long as it fits certain criteria. Has to be original music. Mm-hmm. Has to be from within the Sacramento region. So in my brain, it's like from Vacaville to Modesto, Stockton,
yeah,
maybe up to Grass Valley,
sure,
and then Shingle Springs, El Dorado Hills,
yeah,
that kind of area, Placerville. Mm-hmm. I think we've only had a couple of like Woodland, Marysville, that kind of thing.
Sure,
there's like a circle. This is kind of the Sacramento area region. Like if you can hear Sacramento radio, you can probably submit for concerts in the park. Those are the two criteria.
Right.
So if you submit from LA, I'm probably not listening to your stuff unless an agent has sent it to us for consideration for being a headliner.
So as far as the headliners go, the people from out of the area,
mm-hmm,
those are people that you seek out?
It's a mixed bag. The series has been around so long that agents and managers and labels know about it. It may feel like our hometown little thing, which
right,
is great, and I love that that's what it is. But there are agents that, you know, will reach out to me in September. I want to submit this band for Concerts in the Park headliner next year. And I'm pretty honest, but there's sometimes the band isn't really the name recognition or isn't the size that we are looking for to headline, because you have to have some of that because it's a nonprofit and we only make money off the bar. So you have to have people in there drinking for us to like break even. It's not always us seeking them out. It's a lot of submissions. I think this year I have a thread that's like 130 responses back and forth between 40 to 60 agents that are submitting ideas. You know, hey, we're on tour and we don't have a show in Sacramento. Could we just headline concerts in the park? Or, yeah. Oh, we're playing Bottle Rock and we want our band to play on the Friday because they play on Sunday. Is there a way we can work something out?
So what percentage do you, would you say is like local to out of the area?
So that's one of the changes that's been made over the past 13 years. Myself and my partner, Andy Hawk, and a host of other folks, Danny Secretion and Laith Chaos and Jake DeRochers in the beginning, and now it's just Andy and I. We got asked to come and help Downtown Sacramento Partnership reinvent what they were doing for so many years. The couple of years before we took it over, I think there was like 2,000 people attending on their best week, and they were just bleeding money. They were like, how do we make this a little more of a destination, I guess you could say. The goal was like, how do we bring people from the burbs to experience downtown in a way that they've never experienced because they have this preconceived notion of what downtown Sacramento or midtown Sacramento is. We started with booking two or three national headliners the first couple years we booked. Everything else was local. The openers, the DJs, the opening bands. As we started to see momentum grow and we started, it started to become, you know, 5,000 people a week. And then it was 6,000 people a week. Yeah. And then now we've had weeks where, you know, Fanagram last year was insane. It was about one of, I think one of our, if not the largest capacity or attendees that we've ever had ever. And over the past, I would say 5 or 6 years that we've done it, it's become where we have like out of the 12 weeks, we would only have 3 weeks that would be local headliners. There's not many local headliners that can draw the amount of people that we need. You know, you have Arden Park Roots, and you have, last year we had John Wild, we have Philharmonic before, and things like that. So there are people out there that can do it, but we really, really love being able to provide a free concert with a nationally headlining artist that you would usually have to pay, you know, $20, $30, $50 more to go see. And do something like Fanagram or Franz Ferdinand or Papa Roach or whatnot and allow people to come see it for free in the, you know, one square city block park in the middle of their, in the middle of Sacramento.
I had a really great time a few years ago when Destroy Boys headlined.
Love them.
Talk a little bit about some highlights, wow moments for you.
I have this really eclectic love of music. Mm-hmm. There's things that, like, for me personally, just grab my soul. And then there's people that I am just so in love with their music that they're not going to be on this list, but like Destroy Boys and, you know, like I love Vi and the whole band and what they're doing and what they stand for. The biggest highlights, one is Crystal Method. I was this party kid in college and Crystal Method was the soundtrack to that time in my life. Like to be able to have that live and show that to the city and have them experience the same thing was awesome. Peanut Butter Wolf was like a dream. Peanut Butter Wolf being the owner and founder of Stone's Throw Records, and put out albums by Jay Dilla and Anderson .Paak and people like that. And I would just had this thing in my head, like, I really want to do Peanut Butter Wolf. I don't know how it's going to do.
Yeah.
And it definitely wasn't even close to our biggest show. But I love hip hop and I love like old hip hop. That's why we've done like Souls of Mischief in the past. We've done Del the Funky Homo Sapien and allowed him to come out and do his like, you know, part in Gorillaz, which is like just such an amazing thing. And Blackalicious. I mean, we've had so many of those like old school hip hop things. And that's like another one of my loves.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. The Papa Roach thing was really, really, really cool.
Yeah.
Just because I have a personal, I have friendship with Jacoby and, and Jerry from the band, and they're really good dudes. And he said it on stage, but he was like, man, they've been, you know, Justin's been calling me for, you know, 10 years trying to get me to do this because it's a hometown show for them, you know, like they definitely should do it. And so it finally happened. And that was a really cool moment. But I mean, I feel like every year there's like one or two where I'm just like, ah, man, this is amazing. Sprinkled throughout the lineup every year.
What are some returning bands recently that you really get excited about seeing?
Sarah Beth. That's the one that jumps off the page. I mean, she opened opening night last year. Her music, in my eyes, is probably the most substantial thing, or one of the most substantial things to come out of Sacramento in the past 5 to 7 years. Like, she put on such a good show. Yeah. I'm like, crap, you know, that we should have figured something out where she was higher up in the lineup. The snares, you know, played a couple years back. I love the snares, so their good, music. Yeah. I love what they're doing. I love what they're all about. I love how much they love the scene, you know, returning people or people yeah. that have played in the past where I'm like, oh man, I hope we can do that again. And maybe at a bigger level. The hardest thing is there's always like 4 or 5, maybe 7 bands that we can't book because we just don't have a space for them.
Yeah.
Whether it's genre, because we used to just throw whatever genre on a show and just be like, it's cool because yeah. people like music. Now we're a little bit more intentional, I would say, over the past 5 years, where we really try to like build out a night based on genre, or yeah, at least sure. adjacent genres. Like, we're not like, you know, genre snobs where we're like, oh, nope, it's not a post-hardcore band, so sure. you just can't play.
Yeah.
But there are so many bands where they've been on my list for like a year, 2 years, 4 years, you know, whatever, and I just haven't had a place to put them. Last year, the one that I was so mad that I wasn't able to book was Blood Sugar. The fact that that band is not massive right now, with their energy, their live show, their art, their everything, just kind of blows my mind. The other one that has, I feel like, has been on my list the past 2 years, year, is this artist Megan Clare. She's like singer-songwriter, but you can't really pin her down into one genre. She has this like 90s alternative sad singer-songwriter vibe.
Yeah.
But she also can like do covers of Sleep Token in this eerie, in this eerie tone. I don't know. It's very, very cool what she's doing. I've had her play a show, which is great. I intentionally booked this show and had her on it with Amber De La Rosa at Goldfield because I was like, she needs a platform
yeah.
to like show her music. And that was more of like a folky kind of vibe, but her range is so wide.
So on your Instagram, you've got, you may know me from, but you were the co-founder of Soul Bloom?
Yes. I co-founded Soul Bloom with a guy named Fornati Kume. Fornati was a client of mine at one of my other startups. I think he had realized that I helped executive produce this festival called Launch
mm-hmm.
In 2012 and 2013.
Did Chromeo play that festival?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I went to that one. That was yeah. great. That
yeah.
was great.
It was like Chromeo, DJ Shadow.
Yeah.
That was the cool year that the first year I did it. And the second year I did it was Imagine Dragons' first headlining set, yeah. Girl Talk, Rocket from the Crypt. He knew my role at venues and as a promoter and whatnot. And he said, you know, someday I'm going to get you to help me with a festival.
Yeah.
I love that there are people out there with ideas
right.
and have the drive to want to do it. I think that was like 2013 or 2014. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 2017. And he called me one day and was like, hey, man, I'm really serious about doing this R&B festival. I think it's time. R&B is about to blow up
yeah.
in a way that it probably hasn't. Because he had just done a Khalid show that he put in Memorial Auditorium and it sold out in like 5 minutes or something like that, something crazy.
Wow.
And based on my experience in both executive producing festivals, managing festivals, helping operate festivals from like access control and logistics and mm-hmm. And all of that, I was like, I felt prepared. And I was working in ticketing at the time. So I kind of knew a lot of different avenues within a festival. So I was like, you know what? Let's give it a shot.
Yeah.
So we both put our money together. In 2017, we came up with the concept of Soul Bloom. How do we create a festival that is inclusive of minorities only, like yeah. minority only performers, primarily female? Like, let's make sure that we have like headliners that are female
yeah.
or non-binary, who, you know, however you want to represent yourself. How can we make that a thing? And then make intentional decisions about like, okay, we're going to start really boutique and really small inside Cesar Chavez Plaza.
Right.
And we're not going to have like American food, right? We're going to have like, you know, Filipino fusion. We're going to have, you know, Mexican street taco trucks. And we're going to do things like that.
Wow.
And we're going to create, you know, the restaurant inside of Cesar Chavez as the VIP. Like, how do we create an experience that's really cool, but so inclusive that it feels like it's for the people that are going to be attending? And then our first one was 2018, the second one 2019, and then COVID hit. I guess maybe we'd already finished booking. As you can imagine, like, your finances get flipped upside down.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're going to live another day
right.
as a festival, as a venue, as a promoter. Because the thing that is your job is no longer exists. I had a really hard conversation with Frenati. Late 2020, I guess, is when I made the decision of like, hey, you know what? I need to like just step away from this.
Yeah.
Like it was taxing my mental health. So I sold him back my 50% and just focused on my career.
It was a great foundation to start off with.
Yeah.
It was much like you see in Concert in the Park, where there's a handful of recognizable names and then a bunch of talent that are up and coming.
Yeah.
And now those talents become huge.
Yeah, you know, they're massive. Great. Like you look at like Jessie Reyez as a perfect example where she was like, you know, she was still a direct support, but like she's huge now.
So I also saw on your Instagram, Goldfield, Folsom Hotel. Tell me about your connection with those entities.
Goldfield and Folsom Hotel and Old Ironsides are owned by two guys, Brett and Eric, who I have been partners with for over 20 years. Started my partnership with Eric booking the Boardwalk in the 2000s for about 8 years. And then when he split off and opened Ace of Spades, I went with him and booked Ace of Spades for 7 years before it got acquired by Live Nation.
Wow.
Everything from like talent buying to running social media is a really lean, mean team. There's like five people that are like full-time. Anything public-facing is like, you know, behind the scenes and ticket strategy for them, because it's just, that's kind of what I do.
Support for Creativity in the Capital comes from the Sacramento Observer, which has served Sacramento's Black community for 60 years and is a member of the Solving Sacramento Journalism Collaborative. Read more at sacobserver.com. Who are some acts in Sacramento that are still doing it that maybe people aren't paying attention to any longer?
Some artists that I believe didn't get enough love.
Or maybe they did get love some time ago, but they're still making good music.
Oh, man. Let me think about that. That's a...
So that might not even be somebody that applies to Concert in the Park or that you would book for Concert in the Park, but they're going to be at other venues and people just need to go see them.
One of my favorite artists that kind of always keeps leveling up and has been a past guest on here, Tara Lopez, you know, from Sister Crayon to Rituals of Mind to the stuff that she's doing with Lab Rats.
Yeah.
Every time I talk to her, it's like, I'm doing this. Or we have mutual friends in common too. And some of them, you know, will be like, oh my gosh, I just heard this, you know, new demo from, you know, Tara's new project or whatever. And it's like, you gotta hear it, you know? And so I'm always surprised. And, you know, her projects have done really rad things. I mean, gone on tour with Garbage and things like that. It's like, that's rad. I mean, there's so many bands out there that I just absolutely love from Sacramento. You know, I mentioned Amber De La Rosa. I love Amber's. I loved Flourish. I still do, which is like her first project or one of her first projects. Her solo stuff with Michael Franzino was interesting because it like was super like pop ethereal kind of interesting stuff. Yeah. And then Moxie the Band was like, you know, just epic.
Definitely.
And a totally different, such a huge departure from like Flourish to Moxie the Band was like not even the same hemisphere. I like a lot of the metalcore stuff from this area.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of evolution because you have like people whose bands are from here but aren't really from here, but like the members of the band are from here.
Yeah.
So like Emma Rosa or, you know, Rain City Drive, right? Which were formerly called Slaves, and I'm glad that they changed their name. But but like those bands, like members are from here, and it was awesome to see them come up, and I still love them. There's so many good bands that have come out of Sacramento or have a Sacramento affiliation that are just, it's wild. Like when people are like, wait, Tycho is from here or Deftones or, you know, like all the big ones, obviously, Deftones and Cake and whatnot. But like Chelsea Wolfe, like is another one that I'm just like, I love Chelsea. I love the evolution of Chelsea Wolfe. It feels like started doing things in like very emo singer-songwriter stuff. I think she at one point like had some affiliation with An Angle, which is like a drive-thru records emo kind of Bright Eyes band, and then ended up being like the queen of City Witch music, you know, and like the very like psychedelic, heavy psychedelic rock.
Yeah.
And then seems to have stripped it back a little bit in like the last year or two and done a lot more like acoustic-y, still very, very like spooky, cool stuff.
Not thinking about concerts in the park, where do you go to see a show where you can have an intimate connection with that artist? Or where have you?
I really love Goldfield because I feel like it's a home. I would say my favorite place to see shows, which isn't here anymore, is Holy Diver. I love shitty, little, low-lit, low-ceiling clubs.
Yeah.
I loved the Boardwalk back in the day.
Yeah.
Because it was like that.
I saw some great shows there, too.
Yeah. Absolutely bonkers, you know?
Yeah.
Killers and, you know, Asking Alexandria and Taking Back Sunday and Fall Out Boy.
Like, yeah.
It was just insane. And I booked a ton of shows there. So it was like, you know, I was seeing people that I loved. Old Ironsides is a great place. In my old age now, it's a little too small for me,
yeah.
Unless I'm like really into the band.
So who are some up and coming talents that you would like to see at the festival, at Concerts in the Park?
Some of the stuff that I want to see, we may not ever be able to book.
Right.
Not saying that we would exclude genres, but there's some stuff that is just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's a little too abrasive or whatever. I'll just spit off like a handful of artists that I
sure.
really, really love from Sacramento, whether they have played or haven't played.
This is kind of an educational question for myself.
Yeah. I mean, I love Rainbow City Park. I love the Snares. And Danny does both, which is great. There's this band called Blouse. Interesting, really noisy kind of band that I love listening to. I'm a huge playlist guy. The concept of Soulbloom when we first did it was like, how can we make a playlist that everyone wants to listen to?
Yeah.
Right. And I try my hardest to make Concerts in the Park feel like that. This playlist that's called Sacramento's Indie Revival. I'm just gonna literally like machine gun a bunch of bands that I love. I hope that people will take the time and like listen to them.
Yeah.
Stella Crest. Amazing indie rock band. Sound a little bit like Alkaline Trio, but like an indie rock version. Demon Wrangler, The Filthy Kids, Loose Choir. We had Loose Choir play last year. Blood Sugar, Mastoids, which like garage rock. Swan Ronson. I couldn't explain Swan Ronson if I tried, but it feels very Sex Pistols meets Riot Girl. They played, I think, the year before last, Concerts in the Park. Hot Plug. Blind Eyes. Blind Eyes played last year. Very 90s grunge sound.
Yeah.
Shower Breakfast. This band Shower Breakfast is great. They're a little sleepy for us to book at Concerts in the Park unless there was a perfect headliner. It's harder to put that in the park when everyone's wanting to have drinks and kind of turn up in the summer.
Yeah.
And so that's tough.
Do you ever hear people say that Sacramento is boring? And what is your response to something like that?
Oh, yeah. There's always been this idea that there's nothing to do in Sacramento. I mean, since I moved here, if you want to do anything or you want to go anywhere in music or the arts, you have to go to San Francisco or LA or Nashville or Chicago or New York. There's always been this pull on the rope that, like, you can't do it here. You know, you got to go somewhere else, which I, like, am adamantly against. I think the thing that makes people interesting is like, okay, so you're going to build your entire persona, art, all that, being nurtured by the community that is here.
Yeah.
And you think that now you're going to move and that nurture behavior is going to happen in a city that is 20 times the size
right.
of Sacramento and has 30 times more artists and musicians and other people who are also looking for that same nurturing behavior. That has never made sense to me.
Yeah.
I think there's a ton to do. I think you just have to open your eyes and be open to like, what am I looking for?
Yeah.
Right. And I love the bands that intentionally are like, I'm not moving. Or the people that come back. You know, Chelsea Wolfe's a perfect example. Like she went away, she came back. You know, you've had other bands that have moved away and have had members stay, like Deftones, right? Like you
right.
have half the band that left and the other band, or Papa Roach, you know, they left and stay. Cake, you know,
yeah.
some of them left and some of them are here. I think that one of like the biggest misconceptions about Sacramento is that there's nothing to do here, that you're never going to be able to make it. I mean, in reality, the amount of music companies that we have here, whether it's the Artery Foundation, SBG Records. Please and Thank You is a company that is based in Sacramento and was founded in Sacramento and represents, like, I don't know how many artists that they have right now, maybe like 250.
Wow.
Of the, they do, you know, VIP experiences and meet and greets and curate these things for VIP offerings for hundreds of artists. And they're based in Sacramento. Like, people don't know that they exist here.
Right.
Like, the common person is not like, oh, Sacramento is a place to work in music.
Right.
But with the entry from, you know, Another Planet and Channel 24, Live Nation owning Ace of Spades.
Yeah.
The Hard Rock Live in Wheatland, the Amphitheater in Wheatland, you know, these new venues coming in with, like, Thunder Valley and things like that. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of, like, larger style rooms where you can learn this kind of stuff. You can learn if you want to go into production, you want to do sound lighting or talent buying or event production or, you know, whatever. And they, like, Thunder Valley is booked by, the talent buying is done by Danny Wimmer Presents, which owns Aftershock,
right,
which owns, you know, Bourbon and Beyond and all these other properties throughout the United States. But you can live here and you can work as part of these teams and hone your craft and become something that's really awesome. I mean, one of the biggest success stories is my buddy James Cavern. Jamesy is a kid from Rockland. He's originally from London or England, but he went to high school in at Roseville. He was just this, like, you know, 18-year-old kid that would come up to me at the boardwalk and be like, hey man, if you ever need someone to open a show, like, let me know. And I'm like, cool. And I fell in love with his music.
Yeah.
And then he had all these projects that he did in Sacramento. And then he became one of Hobo Johnson, one of the members of Hobo Johnson. And then when he left Hobo Johnson, he was like the keyboardist for Oliver Tree. Oliver Tree is playing 5,000 cap rooms, sold out shows all throughout the world. You know, now he's doing like production work and guitar teching and working backtracks and things like that for all kinds of touring artists. And touring the world and playing, you know, and being inside arenas and stadiums and stuff with massive bands. So it just takes like perseverance and a little bit of like understanding of what you want to do. And he went to school in Roseville.
Is there anything that you're working on right now that we didn't cover that you want to get out there, talk about?
I have been working on a concept event that is music related and, like, basically one day festival kind of vibe. And the concept revolves around, like never coming back, creating an event that only happens once.
Yeah.
And it only happens once intentionally. The evolution of that day is everything being built to begin with and breaking down by the end. And
you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself.
The thing is I've got a million ideas.
Yeah.
Part of how my brain operates in this world is if I have an idea, I have to write it. I have to put it in like a Google Doc or like write it down and get it out of there as fast as possible so I don't lose it. And then I will dissect it into a million pieces and figure out like, would anyone care? Is this fun? Could this be doable?
Yeah.
How would I pull this off? And luckily over the years, I've been able to, you know, establish a bunch of relationships with people in the city, whether it's other promoters, whether it's venue owners, the city itself, Downtown Sacramento Partnership. And so I can approach people and just say, hey, is this something that you would be interested in like collaborating with? I'm not really interested in doing anything solo, but I think that the city deserves to have more really cool events.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have a lot. And some that were here for a small amount of time and some that were here for a long time. But I feel like every year you got to give them something new to kind of chew on.
It was really fun sitting down with Justin Norden. So thank you, Justin. I also want to extend thanks to Sina Christian, our editorial director at Solving Sacramento, as well as senior editor Caterina Graziosi, whose names I say because I love pronouncing Caterina's name. Also, a friendly nod of hello to my fellow host, Helen Harlan. Solving Sacramento does have an event coming up on April 7th from 6 to 8 p.m. We are going to be hosting another Hangout Gigs Live with local band Be Brave, Bold Robot. Tickets are on sale now. If you search Out Solving Sacramento at eventbrite.com, you'll be able to get those. Also, keep an eye out at any events we host for our biannual zine, Sac Art Pulse. You can also go to solvingsacramento.org and sign up for our newsletters and check out any coverage that we have there. And last but not least, if you want to follow us on Instagram, the Instagram is Solving Sacramento. Once again, I'm your host, Casey Raptor. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Enjoy yourselves.
This episode of Creativity in the Capital was funded by the City of Sacramento's Arts and Creative Economy Journalism Grant to Solving Sacramento. Following our Journalism Code of Ethics and Protocols, the city had no editorial influence over this episode.